Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 60, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, O put me not to shame before triumphant foes. And what follows, Psalter 60, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 through 58. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come, thou fool? That which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat, or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that which was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this incorruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We have not mentioned this morning our Mr. Simon van Wieringa, who hopes to turn 86 in the day of tomorrow. Let us ask the Lord for a blessing. Merciful and almighty God, the Father of all mercies, the fountain of all good, in him we live, we move, and have our being. Wilt thou teach us more and more how dependent we are upon thee for all things, that without thee we can do nothing, that thou hast our breath and our heartbeat in thy hand, and when thou removest thy hand, that we are no more than it is eternity. Give a heart to acknowledge thee for the many blessings which thou still grantest unto us and our children in these solemn and in these serious times, where thy judgments are hanging so low over the earth. And all, Lord, who taketh it to heart, who hath a heart that perceiveth it, then with thy special callings, then thou art still speaking to the children of men, then thou art speaking in special ways to us and our children, when we may still have the truth of thy holy word. Ah, Lord, it is written in thy word that thou wert waiting to be gracious, under thy judgments waiting for us and our children to repent of our evil and worldly ways. But, ah, Lord, thou shalt not wait forever. Thou art long-suffering, and we and our children are the natural man. Then he abuses that long-suffering, hoping that the day of tomorrow shall be as today. Well, thou turnest, Lord, then we shall be turned. cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved, that under thy solemn callings, that many may be wrought upon by thy Spirit, that we harden not our heart, that is the greatest judgment that can come upon a person, upon a family, upon a church, and upon a country. May we be brought in the guilt, and may we be given to cry unto thee, Lord, we have heard out of thy holy word of a solemn day which shall surely come. It is written in thy word. May it please thee then to grant hearts to receive thy word, to understand thy word, to believe thy word, and to keep thy word. May it please thee to write thy holy law upon the tables of our heart, Lord. Wilt thou convert those that are unconverted, those that have become bold and hardened in sin? Oh, wilt thou stop them on their mad career? Others are so busy with the earthly things that it seems that there is no time, and oh, Lord, there is time, but the trouble is there is no desire to think of thee and of their never-dying souls. Other serious impressions, but still on that broad way, oh, Lord, may it please thee to stop, to turn, to draw, to teach, to uncover, and to comfort. Wilt thou remember the daughters of Jerusalem? Ah, Lord, it is their desire to receive a word from thee, a little token, an embrace. Those daughters need the pardoning of their sins, to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Wilt thou grant the further leadings, Lord? Bless the manifold means of grace. Wilt thou remember and help the consistory? Ah, we have heard in this afternoon of a Joshua with filthy garments, and a Satan that was speaking, that was accusing. That is not a strange matter. But may their eyes be upon thee, that all our help may come from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Wilt thou bless the instruction in the catechism classes, the confession of faith class? Wilt thou bless the house visitation? Ah, that it may be heard that there are many a seeking soul among young and old, and that those seekers, that they may be given to tell of the tokens of thy favor, of the hope that they have received. And may it also be the further leadings concerning the second person for the pardoning of their sins. Wilt thou remember and help fathers and mothers with the instruction of their children and the aforesaid doctrine? Bless the Christian school, grant traveling mercies. Remember all those that may labor therein. Bless thy holy word to the hearts of young and old. Wilt thou also remember this week for the annual meeting concerning the school? Wilt thou remember and help the chairman to guide the meeting? And may the souls of our children May it weigh heavy upon our hearts. By renewal, we remember the manifold needs, the young son that may return from the hospital. Wilt thou continue to grant healing, sanctify the callings, remember the family circle, remember all under the physician's care. Thou knowest the fears and the worries. Remember all the sick relatives, also the circumstances are known unto thee. By renewal we remember all the mourning ones, all our elderly ones, an old father that hopes to remember with his dear wife, and the day of tomorrow that thou hast added another year unto his years, a year to reflect what thou hast done and what we have done, but also to be given to meditate upon death and eternity. We commend them unto thee for body and for soul. Remember the family circles, may love abound between husbands and wives, parents and children. When it is not so, may there be a bowing, a repentance, what has been separated. May it please thee to bring it together according to thy holy word. Lord, remember us and our children, where the Satan has but a short time. He goeth about on the one hand as an angel of light, and on the other hand as a roaring lion. We and our children live in a time of so many temptations. May we be enabled and given to bear one another on the wings of prayer, that thou may keep us, that thou may watch over us. May we be found more a praying and a begging people. Lord, remember the nations of the earth. Remember our nation, where there is a further departing from thee, no acknowledgement of thee, and no asking for wisdom from above, and no bowing under thy word. Woe unto us that we have sinned. Thy judgments are surely heavy upon us, Lord. May we be given to see it, and may we be given to mightily cry unto thee, not in the first place, oh, the time shall become more and more difficult, when thy holy word may be our guide, and when we may live accordingly to, then there shall come less and less place for us and our children. But, Lord, in that way, may we be given to experience in special and in remarkable ways that thou knowest of us, and that thou carest for us. Wilt thou remember our province, remember the premier, all those that stand at his side, the different governments of the cities, and also of this town. Lord, in this evening hour, then we humbly ask thee for thy help. We are called upon to speak upon solemn matters. Death, 'tis appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Lord, thou knowest how deeply that we have fallen, and that by nature we live upon the earth as if this is our eternity. But those seeking daughters of Jerusalem, they expect not to become so old. And to that end, also because of thy love, then they have become true seekers. Lord, may it please thee in this hour that the number of those true seekers that they may be added, that they may be multiplied, that in these dark times that thou may do a great and wonderful work in the midst of us and our children, that many souls may be saved, that little lambs may be born in the flock, and that the lambs may grow, that jewels may be added to the meritorial crown of King Jesus. Lord, wilt thou so watch over us and help us open thy word, open our hearts. Wilt thou take away everything that could be a hindrance. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 245, the stanzas 1, 3, and 5. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place through all the ages of our race. Before the mountains had their birth, or ever thou wast formed the earth, from everlasting thou art God, and what follows. 245, 1, 3, and 5. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 22, the question and answers of 57 and 58. Question 57, what comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? Answer, that not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head, but also that this my body, being raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. Question 58. What comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting? Answer, that since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, after this life I shall inherit a perfect salvation, which eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man to conceive, and that to praise God therein forever. Lord's Day number 22 speaks of the future blessedness of the Church of Jesus Christ. Three thoughts. First, the separation at their death. Secondly, the reuniting at the resurrection. And thirdly, the eternal joy of life everlasting. The future blessedness of the Church of Jesus Christ, the separation at their death, the reuniting at the resurrection, and the eternal joy of life everlasting. Thus first, the separation at their death. Beloved congregation, we may come to the last articles of the Apostles' Creed. And then we have heard at different times, three times it is mentioned, but it implies to all the articles, I believe. How is it now with our believing? Do we really believe what is written in the Holy Word of God? Do we really read, believe what we read in the 12 articles? Then in the first place, do we believe it historically, that there is a God in heaven so glorious, so great, so majestic, so just, so merciful? Do we believe historically that the Father has sent His Son, that great sinners can and must be saved? Do we believe in the Holy Ghost historically? Do we believe the last articles, where it speaks of the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? Do you ever question yourself, congregation? What do I now really believe, even with my mind? Because if we truly believe it, would then there not be made more effort to be given to seek that God and to be restored in that blessed communion? Are we sometimes shocked at the hardness of the heart? Do we sometimes tell the Lord, "Ach, Lord, Thou art so good, Thou art so faithful, Sabbath day after Sabbath day during the week, we may hear Thy word, Thou art speaking, Thou hast spoken, and Thou art speaking over the whole earth, and I have a heart that seems where it makes so little impression. I am not willing to leave my sins, maybe addictions, temptations. Then we see how deeply we have fallen. And to that end, how necessary that we are more on our knees. What shall it be when the Lord comes with His great judgments upon the earth, when the Lord no longer shall wait to be gracious, but when the cup is full? And that is also personally, I believe, what is now necessary, the loving and the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. Those daughters of Jerusalem of this morning and the bride, they were wrought upon by the Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 16. The north wind and the south wind, they were given to believe divine realities. Then concerning the last articles, then it speaks of the benefits which the Lord Jesus Christ has merited for His church. In the last Lord's Day, then we have heard the forgiveness of sin was mentioned. And in Lord's Day number 23, as the prophet of that believing. And now in this evening hour, then we are called to speak of two further benefits which Christ has merited for His people after this life. Then in the former Lord's Day, then the instructors, they have stressed, perhaps with a special purpose, that we and our children, as we come closer to the end of the 12 articles, a short summary of the Christian faith. Then we read in question 54, what believest thou concerning the Holy Catholic Church? What do you understand by the communion of saints? And then in question 56, then by renewal, then it is stressed, what believest thou concerning the forgiveness of sins? Thus, the instructors, when they have come closer to the end of the 12 articles, then they have used that word, believest, that we may be given to examine our hearts. Now in this Lord's Day, it is not asked, what believest thou concerning the resurrection of the body? Or what believest thou concerning the article of life everlasting. But then the instructors, they have another question. What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? What comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting? Do you hear it, boys and girls, that it is a personal question? Of course, in this evening, your father and mother are not excluded, but that question also comes to you. Not whether we believe it, but what comfort does the resurrection of the body afford thee? And then I hear many think, oh, when I think of those things, then I have no comfort. And why? Because your conscience tells you that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, and that even with your understanding that you know, it shall be so terrible to appear before the judge as an unrepentant, an unbelieving sinner, to appear before the judge with all our sins. That word comfort, you can remember it, boys and girls. We find it in the first answer, the first question. The second question, what is thy only comfort in life and death? And now the instructors, they are using that same word, that each and every one, that we may examine our hearts very closely. What we have heard thus far out of our Heidelberg Catechism, based upon God's holy word, whether those matters that have been spoken of, that it was not all strange to us, that there were times that it has touched our heart, that it has given a little comfort. And now the instructors, what comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? Answer, that not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ, its head. Thus the instructor is given to speak of a soul. Do you believe you have a soul, congregation? Do you really believe it? A soul for a never-ending eternity. A soul by nature that is lost, and a soul that needs to be saved. How do you deal with your soul? Do you neglect it? Do you spend all your time and your energy and your money for your body? We may not neglect our body, but how does it compare to our soul? Are there times that we may lay awake and that we may think of our soul, that we may cry unto the Lord, ah, those daughters of Jerusalem of this morning, they believed they had a soul, and therefore they were seeking souls. Blessed that people that may become a seeker. Oh, it is true that many people have many questions, many riddles, many perplexities. The most important matter becomes, how that their soul may be saved, and that they may appear righteous before their Maker. Thus the instructors, they speak of death, 'tis appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Do we think of death, or do we try to put that thought as far as possible? Boys and girls, do you also think of death and of your soul? We know the old must die, and that the young can die. The Lord has many ways to usher us out of this life. And now the instructors, that not only my soul after this life and death, everything comes to an end. We read in 1 Timothy 6, we come naked into the world, we can carry nothing out, and that immediately at death, what a parting that is to friends, body and soul, that have dwelt together for less or more years. What a struggle there can be at death when those two friends are called to part. And then immediately, the instructor, he may declare, after this life, I shall be immediately taken up to Christ, its head. The instructor does not say heaven, that is the place, but the emphasis to Christ, its head. We have many proofs out of the scriptures that that shall take place immediately at death. We read of a Rachel in Genesis 35 with the birth of Benjamin, that her soul was departing. Ecclesiastes 7:12, verse 7, we read that at death, that the body shall return to the earth, and the spirit to God who gave it. Think of the thief on the cross. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Young and old, has that now become your prayer? Lord, remember me, poor sinner, with all my sins and with all my guilt. Remember me with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. The Lord has a people upon the earth. That becomes the main point. And then Christ says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Of course, concerning that thief, his body was put in the ground, but his soul went immediately to heaven. Paul has written to the Philippians in Philippians 1, the verses 21 through 23, for me to live is Christ, and to die is Christ, to die is gain. Thus that proves that at his death, that a soul would immediately go into heaven. He has also said, would be more expedient that he would remain with the church, but to be with Christ, that is the better portion. Thus, there is a clear proof and proofs in the scriptures that at death, that our souls shall immediately go to its rightful and eternal destination, shall be immediately taken up to Christ, its head. May I ask you, congregation, if the Lord shall send the angel of death, has many ways to send the angel of death and to usher into eternity. Where shall your eternal home be? There are two homes. There is those eternal mansions of which we read in John 14, verse 2. And there is that bottomless pit immediately taken up to Christ its head. We have heard it out of 1 Corinthians 15. And there we read in verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But then we read in verse 57, But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. By renewal, may I place the question close to your heart. Where is your journey to? Two ways, two peoples, and two destinations. And now the Lord, he granteth this precious time of grace that we may be given to turn from our evil and our worldly ways and cry mightily unto the Lord that he may show mercy. Ah, the Lord has promised. We have heard it in the past week that the church was multiplied of that Jerusalem that was staked out, and in Lord's Day 21, that the Son of God from the beginning to the end of the world gathers by word and by spirit a church chosen unto everlasting life. Our second thought, the reuniting at the resurrection, and then further, being raised by the power of Christ, I shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. Then when we come on the cemetery, and it can be good and profitable, even when we do not have close family members, that there are times that we take our families to the cemetery and that we look at the gravestone. Oh, each gravestone, what a preacher it is. It tells us, where I am now, you shall soon be, because I read in the Bible that the grave never says that it is enough. And then all the graves, they shall be opened. When shall that be? When we read Matthew 24, then it is clear that that day is coming closer by. Because we live in such solemn and serious times. Matthew 24, there is spoken false Christs, wars, earthquakes, pestilences. These are the beginning of sorrows. Then congregation, then we have to be blind if we do not see that the judgments of the Lord are so low upon the earth. And under the Lord speaking, or is there a ruler? I am not saying there are none. Maybe a few in poor countries, still rulers that are given to acknowledge that the Lord is supreme, that the Lord is just, that the Lord is sovereign, that the Lord is speaking, but in general in the Western world, under his judgments, no acknowledgement, no repentance, no asking for the ways of the Lord. And how is it with us and our children? The last year and a half, has there been repentance in the midst of the family circles, personal repentance, a cleansing, or can we still continue on in our worldly ways? And then in the following verse, then it speaks of persecution. Under all those ways, the king shall continue to gather his church. May that be our prayer and our supplication, that in the latter days of the earth, that the Lord may do a great and a wonderful work amongst us. In the scripture, there are promises for the Jews. When we consider the last day, it is written that it shall come as a thief in the night, unexpectedly, as in the days of Noah, when the heavens were open, as in the time of Sodom, when the sun has risen, and the Lord has rained fire and brimstone upon those cities, that they were burnt up. Then there shall come a time, the Lord's time, when the last boy and girl, the last man and woman is converted. Then Christ shall immediately come upon the clouds of heaven. It can be the question, how come in our catechism, in this Lord's Day, the instructors are given to speak of the resurrection of the dead, and then what has happened afterwards, the judgment, that the children of men shall be judged, that we have heard thereof already. In Lord's Day number 19, this is the reason, because in the Heidelberg Catechism, then we have spoken of the steps of his humiliation and the steps of exaltation. Boys and girls, I hope you can remember what that means. If you have forgotten, then you must ask your parents after you go out of church. And then we have spoken of the steps of his exaltation. That was his resurrection, his ascension, a Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father. And then the last step was his coming to judge the quick and the dead. To that end, we have spoken thereof already in Lord's Day number 19. But now, at this Lord's Day, after speaking of the work of the Holy Ghost and the blessing which the Spirit grants unto the Church of Jesus Christ, the benefits which Christ has merited for his church, and then in this Lord's Day after this life, to that end in this Lord's Day, there is spoken of the resurrection of the dead, but also that this, my body, being raised by the power of Christ. There are many questions concerning that resurrection and that judgment day that we cannot answer, but it is clearly declared in the scriptures that it shall be. It is spoken by God who cannot lie, who is a God of truth. Then there are many I think when Paul was in Athens, when he was given to speak of the resurrection of the dead, then there were those that mocked. I hope that we and our children may be kept by openly mocking the sacred things which the Holy Word of God speaks of, but that there may be a bowing and that there may be a begging, because the question could be asked, how is it now possible that all the bodies are raised, not only here in the cemetery in Pitcher Butte, but many have been drowned in the ocean, many have been eaten by wild animals, other ones have been burned up, thousands and millions. In our day we are turning to heathendom. They have their bodies burned, perhaps with the thought that they cannot be resurrected. But is there anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord who has created the heavens and the earth out of nothing, he is able to gather those bodies together. And which body shall it be? It shall be the same bodies in which we have lived. Otherwise it was no resurrection. The justice of God requires that the same bodies that have sinned, they must be punished in that body with all their members. And also concerning the Church of Jesus Christ, Christ has purchased them for both body and soul. And now concerning the characteristics, we have heard it out of 1 Corinthians 15, that corruption shall put on incorruption. Then there shall be no halting Jacob, and no crippled Mephibosheth, and no blind Eli. You can multiply it out. Then this honor shall put on glory, because we read in our answer, like the glorious body of Christ. Then weakness shall be endowed with power, and that is necessary to be able to endure eternity. And what all for God's people, eternal glory. There can be times for a child of God that the Lord comes over with such a rich measure of his love that sometime they are given to ask the Lord, maybe those more with weak bodies, that the Lord may hold it a little in, because they experience for their mortal bodies it is too much to bear. And to that end, they shall receive that glorious body. But also for the wicked, unrepentant, unconverted, those that refuse to bow under the scepter of King Jesus, then that weakness that shall put on strength, because they shall have to endure the eternal wrath of a just God. Do we think of eternity? Oh, then I think that there are people in this evening that maybe think, was I but never born? Was I but a pig or a cow or a goose or an other animal, only with a body? But congregation, we are born. Oh, we know that thought is wrong. And we have fallen so deeply that we have not an impression of our lost state, and unable to deliver ourselves, and unwilling. How deeply we have fallen. may you drive us out. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, tell the Lord then in this evening how wretched and how poor you are. That maybe when we are given to speak of these things, and who can speak with a solemnity as he ought to have an impression of what a solemn day that shall be. And perhaps that you have to confess, "Ach, Lord, I have sat in church in this evening, yet so hard and so unfeeling that it seems that nothing impresses me. I am so dead, Lord, but I have heard that I am lost, and in my lost condition, I'm traveling straight to hell, and maybe this week. And to that end, ach, Lord, wilt thou pick me up out of the bottom of hell?" O Samuel Rutherford, he is written in a certain place. We have heard in this afternoon of a brand being plucked out of the fire. Then Samuel Rutherford has written that Christ, that he has went to the bottom of hell, that he may scoop out his jewels, and that he shall may raise them up for glory. What a day it shall be when the graves are opened, where Christ shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Thomas Boston, in his fourfold state, he has written very vividly of these things. And then he has written, "Oh, for God's people, what a happy meeting it shall be, because first the soul and glory, but then to be reunited with the body, that it shall be a most happy meeting." But he has written for the unconverted, that their bodies and souls, that they shall curse each other, that they have found each other by renewal to be reunited and to appear before the judge. But now for God's people, what comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting? Let us first sing. Psalter 439, the stanzas 2 and 3. "Yet in my care, my grief and pain, I ever, Lord, with thee remain. My hand is clasped by thine forever." And what follows? 439, 2 and 3. the future blessedness of the Church of Jesus Christ, the separation at their death, the reuniting at their resurrection, and now thirdly, the eternal joy of life everlasting. O, what comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting? It can be here by the common goodness of the Lord. When we have difficulties, trials, sickness, that we may be given to rejoice when it goes well with our fellow man, although we have fallen so deeply that many times our heart shall be filled with envy. What do you think, congregation? For the unconverted, that shall be sent to hell, shall there be any joy knowing that there is a heaven where there is a great multitude, maybe a father, a mother, brothers, sisters, children, that may be given to rejoice? Shall that give any comfort to the lost? No, because they shall do nothing but curse, and they shall be filled with such anger, and that they know, because at the great judgment day they shall see it, that people is taken up into the air, that shall only make their misery the greater, to know that there is a happy people, to reflect that they have sat under that preaching where peace was proffered unto, where there was a begging to turn from sinful and wayward ways, where woe and well were proclaimed. Had I, but too late. It shall only increase their misery. What comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting? And then the instructors, they have given a remarkable answer that beginning. Then they have said that since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal life, thus for that true people of God, they have a beginning here below. They become seekers, poor and needy. They learn to trust in their God. They are given to taste of the sweet things of the service of the Lord. They are given to need the pardon of their sins. In the Westminster Catechism, that shorter catechism, the first question is, what is the chief end of man? And then the answer, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And the church, they may have a small beginning. Oh, it is true, better things to write against themselves. But when that may be experienced, then they are in their element, that since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, that is examination. what gives us the most joy, congregation. We may enjoy the things here below. The Lord grants many precious things that we may enjoy. But now the question is, what gives us the most joy? Has that become the Lord, His service, a bowing, a glorifying, to experience that sweet communion and to be led into the further mysteries of salvation, to learn with the bride, my beloved is white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s. After this life, I shall inherit thus that is a people that is written in a will in a testament, and that is the testament of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a testament comes in force after the death of the testator. I shall inherit a perfect salvation. The instructors, they have not mentioned so much, but they have quoted from 1 Corinthians 2:9, which eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, and neither have entered into the heart of man, to conceive, and that to praise God therein forever. Where shall that be, boys and girls? That shall be in heaven. That shall be above. That shall be what the Lord called paradise, called that heavenly Jerusalem. And what shall be their company? That shall be a triune God. They shall behold the Savior in His human nature. They shall be with the saints. That people that have received the same desires like those daughters of Jerusalem, which were seeking on the streets of Jerusalem, that separation that begins here below, they shall be with the angels. We have heard it in this afternoon. What shall they do? They shall praise, they shall glorify, they shall serve, they shall adore, they shall cast the crown at the feet of the Lamb. What shall be their condition? We read in the book of Revelation that all tears shall be wiped away. Many times here below, think of the saints. What a difficulties and what a trials. If we think of Naaman, he had many goods and honorable position, but there was a but. What a but there can be, of course, the greatest but. That is that flesh that is never converted. But, in the heavens, all tears shall be wiped away. There no one shall say, I am sick, no virus, no difficulties, no devil and no world. Their sighing and sorrow shall flee away. That shall be the blessed portion, here, a little beginning, then further. They shall receive rest, do we not read? In Hebrews 4:9, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. There they shall be clothed in those white garments. But we read, because boys and girls, maybe you think that is what I thought when I was small, that in heaven it was always church. And I hope, boys and girls, that you like coming to church, but that maybe you think now to always sit on a church bench, shall that be so nice? But in heaven I read that there shall be a new heaven and a new earth. It shall be paradise restored. It shall be eternal perfection. there shall be nothing lacking, and how long? It shall be for a never-ending eternity. We have heard it out of 1 Corinthians 15 that there shall be a difference in glory for the saints. And the late Reverend Kirsten, then he has stated in this recompense lies the most serious rebuke of a careless life and a condemnation of all antinomianism. But it also contains a strong and constant exhortation of for God's people, life everlasting, young and old. Where are we traveling to? Where shall we spend eternity? And it shall be forever. Oh, in this day it may still be proclaimed that there is mercy for sinners. May we be given to beg more earnestly, more perseveringly, more believingly, for the work of the Holy Spirit, that the Lord may gather many. Oh, it should be our prayer. The Lord is no obligation. We have ruined it. We have sinned it all away. The Lord is righteous, but the Lord declares in his word that he is still gathering the church. The Lord declareth that there is room for us and our children. Ah, the Lord declareth that if we seek him in sincerity and truth with all our heart, that we shall surely find him. We read those solemn words in 2 Peter 3 verse 11. After Peter has spoken by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the world shall be burnt up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of men ought ye to be? Thus, what manner that boys and girls ought to be, to seek the Lord early? What manner ought our young people to be, that they may be given to remember their Creator and make that good choice? Oh, young and old, let me ask you, what do you have against the service of the Lord? Are his laws not good? Does he not grant many mercies unto us and our children? Oh, our trouble is our evil heart, a tempting world and an assaulting devil. But seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of men ought ye to be, O middle-aged and elderly ones? Then we are seeing more and more that this world shall and cannot satisfy. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of men ought ye to be, walking in all holy conversation and godliness? Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, may it please thee by thy Spirit to grant the application that we may be given to believe it and exercised with these solemn matters in the time before at the end, that we shall behold it with our eyes, and that we shall feel it. Well, thou be the after preacher. Well, thou remember us in this week. Keep us from an unexpected, but above all, from an unprepared death. Wilt thou guide our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Watch over us in the home. Help the mothers with the children. Remember on the way, at work, at school, our young people with their studies. Teach us more and more how dependent we are upon Thee. Well, Thou bless the catechism classes, the confession of faith class, the house visitation, remember the school meeting. Well, Thou gather the young people together under Thy word at the end of this week. Then Thou wast crowned this day with Thy goodness. Well, Thou also care for us during the night watches. We may thank Thee for another Lord's Day, a Lord's Day that we can never do over again, a day of which we must give an account, a day closer to eternity. We may thank Thee for a few words to speak. Well, Thou now watch over us as we return to our dwellings. Well, Thou give that we may be found to be more a praying and a begging people in these serious times. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter 306. Let us only sing 1 and 4. Praise God, ye servants of the Lord. Praise his name with one accord. Bless ye the Lord, his name adore. From this time forth, forevermore. We remind the congregation that on Thursday evening at 7:30, there shall be the annual school meeting in the auditorium of the Calvin Christian School. Psalter 306, only 1 and 4. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Let's see.